Okay, now let's take our Bibles and we're going to continue. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I meant to mention that the reason why the Sullenbergers are here is because of Felicia's grandmother, Jerry, passing away. If you would pray for the family, for Deb, it was her mother. Pray for them and that loss. She was saved. Praise the Lord for that. But it's always difficult when you lose a family member. You lose part of who you are temporarily. And so pray for them if you would. We're talking about courage tonight. Courage. And we are belaboring the point intentionally because courage is a loss of heart. I'm sorry, discouragement is a loss of heart. Courage is having the strength to do what's right in the face of difficulty. Fear of danger. In fact, there's no reason to need courage unless there is something to fear. It's mental and moral strength. So it's the opposite of what you feel after you watch the news or you go out into the culture. You feel overwhelmed. You feel hopeless. You feel without strength. And courage is mental and moral strength to venture, to persevere, and to withstand danger, fear, difficulty, whatever it might be. So here we have the nation of Israel. They're on the brink of crossing over into Jordan, into the promised land. We've been talking about this a lot. And this is where the majority of the mentions of courage and discouraged in your Bible come from. This area, because it's a monumental change from one type of lifestyle to another. From being slaves and subjugated to being citizens of a free country that is sovereign. This is a major adjustment for them. And sometimes we think, well, if I could just be in a completely different location, everything would be great. That may or may not be the case. Here we have God bringing them out of captivity into a place where, man, land is flowing with milk and honey, and you've got fruit so big it takes two guys to carry it. And they know that, but they're still stuck in fear. God led them to the bank of the Jordan, and this is the second time they've been there. And Moses is going over, he's reviewing their failure. He's giving the repetition of the law, the second giving of the law. That's what Deuteronomy refers to. And verse number 28, he's reviewing how the nation balked at the first entry. And he's referring to what these men said when they came back. And the spies discouraged them. And they said this, "Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them." Moses is saying, I told you that you don't have to be afraid. Remember, there was no need for courage. In fact, the word is not used. I'm sure there was a need for courage somewhere, but the word is never used in Scripture until Moses sent the spies into the promised land. That's when that word shows up. And we believe here in an every word Bible. There's a reason why God does things and puts certain words where he puts them. So if you do something like this here throughout the Scripture, I'm sure there's all kinds of reasons and places to do it. But it just seems that at this point, there's great fear and an aversion to risk. There's an aversion to venturing in the time in the life of God's people right here. A big focus on a fear of stepping forward. But remember this. If you're not afraid, there's no reason for courage. There's no reason for courage. It also can tell you that if there's nothing that you're afraid of, either one, you just don't care anymore, or two, you don't have, you're not venturing for anything. You're not actually having faith that God could possibly do something because it is fear that brings about the necessity of courage. To be courageous, you have to be pushing through fear and uncertainty. Look at verse 30. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. This is why Moses can tell them, don't be afraid. He shall fight for you according to all that he did. Hello. All that he did where? For you in Egypt before your eyes. Remember, this was the most powerful nation on earth, Egypt, the most powerful army. And what did the Lord do? He decimated that country. He destroyed Egypt. And the Lord is the one that did that for them. He brought them through. He brought them out of that nation. He brought them through the wilderness. And now he's asking them to go into the next step. And in the wilderness, he says, verse 31, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that you went until you came into this place. The Lord was being very, very comforting, consoling, very helpful, very fatherly in bringing them all the way. Yet in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. This whole idea of going into Israel, of Israel going into the promised land, was God's idea. Okay, now, I want to encourage you, because it's easy to find books on courage. It's easy to find little things that people talk about. Hey, stand up, do something big, step out, try new foods, visit new places, make a new friend. And those things are they're good and they're valid, but they apply to people who are saved and unsaved alike. It's a healthy, natural thing to challenge yourself a little bit, whether you're saved or not saved. But may I remind you, I was struck with this, and it's so easy to take the Bible and use it as a self-help book for me to accomplish what I want to do in my life. Well, God certainly gives us a lot of margin to accomplish something. But may I remind you, you're saved because it was God's idea. It wasn't your idea to come up with salvation. You're saved because God said, I'm going to send my son, and he's going to provide salvation for whosoever will. You're in church tonight because it was God's idea to have a local church. You have a Bible because God determined that he was going to inspire and preserve his word for you. This whole thing is God's idea. Sometimes when we come to church, we need this. God knows where we are. He reminded them here, listen, I led you like a father leads a son. I've been there with you all the way. But at some point, the father wants the son to be able to walk on his own, right? Okay, so let's think about where you are right now. Sometimes when I come to church, sometimes when I wake up, I just need something to help me get through the day. But I can tell you this, you string enough of those kind of days together, and you will spiral downward over and over, and every day gets worse. It's a vortex. Why? You and I were not meant to come up with our own concepts of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to be. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I just need to get back to my roots. I just need to get back to serenity. I just need to get back to a place where I know who I am. May I humbly suggest that you are not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. You want to find out who you are? Get with the Lord. He's the one that created you. Paul said, I'm crucified, but Christ is in me. For me to live is Christ. That's what he wants to be known as. Not as me and I have this hobby of Christianity. No, it's Christ. And he happens to be in me. Praise the Lord for that. That can help you. Because you say, well, I need courage to do what? Maybe you're going the wrong direction. You know, the Bible says, there's two or three mentions of the word courage that talks about encouraging someone in an evil work. Sometimes we need that. Remember, we can be inspired and encouraged to do the wrong thing or go the wrong direction. So I'm not suggesting that the Lord is trying to deceive you. I'm saying that in your life, it's not so important that you get what you want, but that you are listening for God's voice. What does he want in your life? What direction does he want you to go? This whole idea was God's. Look at just a moment. Look at Joshua chapter 5. This is a great reminder. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. This is after a couple of victories, after they crossed the Jordan, after Jericho. And It says in verse number 13, 5:13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. You see, the real battle is not Israel versus the Canaanites. It's God versus the Canaanites. That's the real battle. You know, the real battle in this world is not Republicans versus Democrats. It's God versus the devil. And I'm not sure I can always pinpoint who's on which side. And by the way, if you find that everyone that's on God's side is also on your side, I would question that just a little bit. Why? Because if you're not careful, you can walk around thinking everybody just needs to be like you. If the world were more like me, it would be such a better place. You know what? Again, this whole idea, even the idea of morality, is God's idea. It's not our idea. By the way, you're not right because you're right. You're only right if you line up with this book. And I don't know about you, I see a lot of ways that I don't line up with this book, as many as the ones that I do line up. What does that do? I'm not saying there's no truth. I'm saying the truth is not subjective. The truth is objective. It is right here. It's not in me. It is here. And I can line up or I can get out of sync with that thing. When you're thinking about, well, I just want to find my truth and find my direction and my hope and my serenity. Again, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. And you say, well, that's discouraging. More discouraging than you trying to run your life? I don't think so. It's more discouraging to try to figure out why you're unhappy and then make yourself happy and keep yourself happy. That's discouraging. Why? Because Solomon had all the money in the world and he couldn't keep himself happy. Solomon had everything he wanted and he couldn't keep himself happy, because that's not where happiness is found. True success is found in meditating on the Word of God and doing what he says in that. That's what Joshua 1:8 says. So remember, the battle is God's. God's the one who comes up with the plan, and it is God's the one that says we need to do battle here, and then he comes up with the plan for the battle. Now, sometimes I get to play a bit part. Sometimes I get to be a supporting actor. But it's never my plan. It's never my idea of how everything should go. And sometimes I just sit there and watch as God works. And I think that is probably the most frustrating thing, is when we think, I know what I would do, and God doesn't do it that way. So this whole idea of going into the promised land was God's. God is in the business of taking people from where they are to where he wants them to go. Wherever they are, he brings them from that place one step closer. Now, we talked about on Sunday morning about prayer. You know, I want to be a prayer warrior. Good. How do you get there? By praying every day. Not being a prayer warrior every day, praying every day. And over time, you will find it accumulates to a point where you actually have some momentum. You can lose that momentum very easily. The only way to gain it back is to continue moving forward. This is God's idea. When Israel rebelled, refused to go in, God's the one that preserved them in the wilderness for 40 years. God's the one that gave them a second chance after the former generation died out. God's the one that appointed Joshua as the new leader. In order for Israel to inherit the land, they had to obey what God said. And they had to trust him. They didn't get special treatment just because they were his people. They had to trust him. And if they wouldn't trust him, then they wouldn't see the blessings. What does God intend for us? God intends for us to possess what he has given us. Israel got a physical land. They got physical blessings. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Well, what good is that? It's a lot of good. He wants us to possess. He wants us to successfully stand against enemies, our enemies, with joy. And he wants us to have an abundant and fruitful life. So let me take you over to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. Colossians 1, hold your place in Deuteronomy, if you would, or wherever you are, Joshua or something, or Ecclesiastes, wherever you might be. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. Let's see what it is that the Lord wants us to have. We talked about the blessings that Israel was to get, and they were physical blessings. Here's what the Lord intends for us. Verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." God intends for you to know what his will is. All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled with it. Filled with it. Now, may I remind you, when we think of God's will, we immediately think for my life. For my life. The only difficulty with that is it can be very difficult for you to prove that God wanted you to work at Jeep from the Bible. Now, you can prove that God wants you to work from the Bible. Absolutely. Well, why doesn't God tell me? Here's an idea. Maybe God doesn't care that much. Now, this freaks people out because we all want to be right with God. And you should want to be right with God. But what if you're stricter than God is? What if you're more afraid and fearful about what God... God didn't tell me I could buy that Toyota. Ease off, brother Pentecostal friend. Amen? You got to be careful of that stuff. God gave me this. Hey, we have one authority. It's the Word of God. Now, the Spirit of God will bear witness in our hearts. But what does He bear witness to? To the Word of God. The Spirit of God is not a separate authority from the Bible. He's the one that wrote the Bible. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration. The Spirit of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is the Spirit of God right here on paper. And what's amazing, and he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He said, the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. What is it? It's the Bible is the Spirit of God on paper. What does that mean in my life? It means that God, he gives me enough principles to follow, and he says, go for it. You want to work at Jeep? You want to work you might want to work at Tim Hortons. Somebody needs to work at Tim Hortons so they can stay open more than 3 hours. Amen. And you say, well, I'm just trying to see what God wants me to do. It is admirable that you care about what God wants. But again, let me ask you this. If my son, I've got a son that's just about every age. I've got one that's 21, 20, and 19. And if they were to come to me and say, Dad, I'm afraid of making the wrong decision in my life. Just tell me what to do with my life, and I'll do it. I can tell you this, that scares me for my son. I would say I have failed as a father. Why? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if my son is scared to death and he wants me to tell him, you know what that means? He has no courage. He doesn't understand the concept of whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. God will let you do a whole lot of things. And as long as you're willing to be told no, to be reprimanded or to be guided or directed or corrected, as long as you're willing to do for that, I'm fine. The Lord says, go for it. Get out there and do it. You know, the Lord left the three servants and gave one pound, 1 5, 1 10, and he didn't tell them how to make more pounds. He just said, I want more pounds. And when he came back, one had, one hadn't. Two had, one hadn't. And what did he say? He said to the one that buried it, thou wicked and slothful servant. That's what he said about the guy. What did the servant say? The servant said, I feared thee. He was afraid of God. He was afraid of getting outside. We have all... Now, I know this makes Independent Baptists uncomfortable because we're all afraid of getting out of God's will. If it's not expressly forbidden in the Bible... Why not give God the benefit of the doubt that he could have told you no if he wanted to? And if he didn't tell you no, then fine. And here's the thing. The caveat I always give is if you're willing to have a brother or sister in Christ show you from the Bible where you might be wrong, a principal, whether that be a pastor or a fellow member of the church, someone that you've known all your life, and says, hey, how can you do what you're doing, lining up with this verse right here? If you say, I don't give a rip what that book says, okay, now we have a problem. But if you're willing to do that, then jump in. The water's fine. There's all kinds of things that you can do with your life. Now, most of you, it's too late. You've already chosen. You chose wrong. I'm sorry. That's all you get. But notice, we got on a sidetrack there because verse 9 says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. What if we were as concerned about what God wanted in this world as we are about what I want out of this world? How do you get that? You get that through being filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What if you understood the Bible more? What if you understood the mind of God more than you did right now? That is something that God wants for you. Look at verse 10. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What does that mean? That is pleasing God and showing how much God is worth to other people. You can please the Lord and you can show the worth of the Lord. Walking worthy of the Lord. The Bible says that a prudent woman is a crown to her husband. What does that mean? That this woman, through her actions, makes this guy look good. Now, he might be a complete idiot, but because he's married to this woman, everybody thinks that he must be something important. You know what you and I could do? We could make God look important with how we act. And often, it's easier to be afraid of people around us, afraid of what the lost world thinks, afraid of what our neighbors think. And the Lord says, if you'll just act like a prudent wife, the bride of Christ that you are, you will show people that Jesus Christ is worthy of being worshipped, that He is Lord of Lords. Walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work. How fruitful do you feel, Christian? How fruitful do you feel? And increasing in the knowledge of God. When's the last time you learned something about God? Strengthened with all might. Do you feel strong or do you feel weak? According to His glorious power, unto all patience, okay, we'll skip that one, and long-suffering with joyfulness. Do you have long-suffering? Do you have joy? Well, that's for super spiritual people. No, it's not. It's for every believer. This is what God wants. So when we talk about going in and conquering the land, we're not just saying, yeah, Israel, go get them. Stop being afraid of giants. Stop being afraid of, and stop disobeying God, rebellion. Go in there and get it. Get you some of what God has for you. Christian, I say the same to you. Go in there and get some of that fruit. Go get some joyfulness. Go get some patience and long suffering. Go get some of the knowledge of His will. You can have it. It's for you. It's God, and you, those of you, you have it. You know what I'm talking about. You know it's not you. You know that God's the one that did all of this. Do you want more? God's got more for you. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 1:37, and we'll talk about something that we haven't discussed yet. Here we have Moses. Moses is giving the law, but Moses, for the second time, and he's reviewing what happened in the wilderness, and now they're about to go into the promised land. But Moses is going to pass the torch to Joshua, and he is not going to be able to go in because he rebelled against the Lord. And he smote the rock twice. So he does not get to go in. But watch what the Lord does. Verse 37. Moses is speaking, Deuteronomy 1:37. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. Now, I kind of find that interesting. Moses was angry because of the rebellion of the people. And that's why the Lord punished him. And he was angry, and it was because of the people, but Moses seems like maybe he's trying to kind of spin it just a little bit. And he said, "Moses was the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee," this is the Lord talking to Moses, "he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." So here's the point. If you don't need courage, or if you have plenty of courage, Maybe God's given you more than you need because he wants you to give it to somebody else. Moses was not going to be using this courage to go into the promised land. But God said, I want you to give some courage to Joshua. Look at chapter 3, verse 25. Chapter 3, verse 25 is where Moses gives it one more shot with the Lord. He really wants to go into the promised land. He says in 325, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. He said, I don't want to hear another word about it. The relationship between the Lord and Moses is wonderful. Verse 27, get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord said, go up and look, and I want you to look because you're not going over. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how the Lord meant it, but that is what he said. Maybe, just maybe, your life is not about you. I'm not trying to be facetious or sarcastic. It's so easy to think about, Lord, I see how you brought all the things together in my life, and I watched how you brought me here and brought me there and brought me there so that you could make my life wonderful. You could help me to be my best self. And the Lord said, I want you to come up here and look at the promised land because no, it doesn't matter which direction you look, you're not going in there. How encouraging is that? You can hear Moses. He can hear, look, westward and northward, southward. Yes, Lord, yes. Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So what did he say? Verse 38, 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. You can see the promise of God that they will inherit the land. You see, who will do it? Joshua. And he has a specific job for Moses in regards to that. So God is saying, from the back to the front, they're going to be there. It's going to happen. They're going to inherit the land. Joshua is going to do it. I want you to encourage Joshua. So let me encourage you, saints. Maybe your life did not go the way you think it should have gone. Maybe God is not going to allow you to see the dream fulfilled that you had when you were 18 or 20. But let me promise you this. God is going to fulfill his will. He is going to get the job done. This world will one day be filled with the glory of the Lord. The knowledge of God is going to flow all over this land right here. It's not going to be Americans, the American heritage. It's not going to be the Native American heritage. It's not going to be any of that stuff. It's going to be the glory of the Lord. Jesus Christ is going to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he is going to rule this entire planet. It's going to happen. Lucas County is going to be glorifying Jesus Christ one day. It's coming, right? You believe that? Okay, now there's a lot of junk that happens from now till then, okay? And maybe you and I are not raptured out. Maybe we die before we get a chance to see the Lord do that and change. I don't know what's going to happen. You can see Moses here. Moses does not get to go in. But I know this. Joshua would not have been equipped with courage had Moses not let go of the torch and said, you do it. And that's what the Lord had for Moses. Maybe that's what God has for you and I. And I would venture to say that that is where we all, each of us, have to come to. If we don't come to that point, you know what we end up thinking? I missed it. I could have done so much better with my kids. I could have done so much better in my business. I could have been what's the kid's name? Always used to say, old actor, I could have been a contender. Who was that? James something? I can't remember. And he was like, oh, I could have won. And sometimes we kind of get that way, don't we? We look at the past. We look, I could have done this. I could have been. And I see where they get to go and everybody else and what God's doing with them. And I could have been that much further ahead. And if I just hadn't, then we live with regret. How about this? Right now, trust that God is going to get his will done and accomplished in this earth. And thank God you had an opportunity to be a little part of that. And then look around and see, who can I help? Let me encourage you guys tonight. There's a lot of young couples in this church. And that's an unusual thing. You ever have visitors come in? And they'll say, man, you guys have a lot of young people. Visitors from other churches. And they're surprised by that. If you're not careful, you might think more about how they're not doing it right, like you did, and instead of thinking, how can I encourage them in what they are doing right? How can I be a blessing to these young people? How can I encourage them? Because they're going to be the ones that carry it past me. And so many of you already do this, and it's a blessing to them. I know that. But I want to encourage you to continue with that. Now, look what he says. Let's continue on. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, because in chapters 4 to 30, the second giving of the law is written down by Moses. He gives it again. And chapter 31, he's wrapping up, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He says to Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now he brings Joshua over. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, speaks to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. He's speaking confirming words based on God's promise. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Does it sound like an echo chamber in here? Over and over again, he says, be of good courage. The Lord's going to be with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Over and over and over again, he says it. Verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach, thou must die. Call Joshua. And present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Look at verse 16. This is God's final message to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. There's some straight talk right there. He said, these people are going to rebel against me. They're going to forsake me. I won't forsake them. They're going to forsake me. Now, I don't know if this is a mollifying of Moses' wounds here as Moses is dying. And the Lord said, just so you know, the worst is coming. Sometimes I know that really rings true. It's like we are the people and wisdom will die with us. America's going down the tubes. You can always get a good amen in church when you say that. People are like, amen, that's right. And it's true. It's true. America's going down the tubes. It's been going down the tubes ever since it started. There's been some high points. There's been some low points. It goes through cycles. And we know this whole thing is converging into the worship of the Antichrist. It's a fact. But that, and the Lord tells him that. But look at verse number 23. Here's what Moses does. Moses goes to Joshua, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Notice the difference between verse 16 and verse 23. Moses knew more. But you know what Joshua needed? Joshua needed courage. You know, it doesn't take any courage to foretell disaster. Why? It's going to happen. Whether I feel like it or not. Whether I'm encouraged, whether I have hope or not. It's going down. But you know what Joshua needed? He needed courage. And so when Moses came to Joshua, he said, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You see, Joshua, you say that is a little bit, you know, myopic or narrow-minded, or it's living in a dream world. Don't you recognize Joshua was going to be the one that was going to fight the battles? Joshua was going to see his soldiers die. Joshua was going to have to put up with all the nonsense that happened. And what Joshua needed was courage that no matter what happened, God is going to see this thing through. He's going to be with you. That's what he did. You know what your kids need? They need courage to do the right thing. They don't always need to be told that America is so much worse than it ever has been. And it's just, I tremble for my grandkids. That doesn't help them at all. They're going to be the ones living in it. They're going to be the ones that have to raise their kids with oppressive government and possible persecution. But can I tell you this? We already know the end of the story. We already know that God is going to, he's going to cause Israel to literally inherit this literal land in a literal future. And he is going to be King of Kings in Toledo, Ohio. That is coming. Yeah, but there's a lot of junk. Listen, there's a dystopian obsession in America. We love to think, we get enthralled and we get obsessed with destruction and zombies and cities and smoking ruins. Why? I don't know why. I think it's a lack of courage. I think it's a lack of courage. You say, well, that's, you know, you're not thinking realistically. You know, why don't you watch the news and so forth? And I try to stay abreast of what's going on, but honestly, I feel powerless to do anything other than pray for Russia and Ukraine. Hey, listen, if my country asks me to fight, you can better believe I'll be putting a sign on the pulpit that says, I'll be right back. I'm going to go fight. Why? I've got no problem with standing up and going out and doing my duty as an American. They probably say, not enough hair, rejected, 4F. But hey, if Brother Shane can make it, I think I could probably do it too. So, listen, that's not it. I just recognize we sometimes live in a dream world one way or the other. We need to get out there and pound the pavement for Jesus. We need to meet some people, and we need to befriend them. We need to give them the gospel, and we need to stay after them long enough to see them saved. We need to work with them. Why? God's given us this land to inherit. Didn't he say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? He said, teach all nations, baptizing them. Who? Whoever believes the gospel. Teaching them to observe all things. Who? Whoever believes the gospel. Does God have people in Toledo that he wants to see saved? Absolutely. No question about it. And I'm not saying it's not going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. Horrible. How does that help you live with hope in Jesus Christ? If it helps you to serve God, then great. Some people are weird. They're wired differently. They see bad news and they're like, oh man, I better be faithful to God. But for most of us, it freezes us. It immobilizes us. It discourages and distresses us and causes us to be weighed down with burdens. And if it does that to you, I'm here to tell you that's not helping you serve the Lord. Watch how Joshua was able to respond. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, here's a sword. Fall on it. He said, "Go, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto what? The land." Don't you love God? He is hung up on this land. He's not going anywhere. He said, this land which I do give them, present tense, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And then he reminds them, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now God speaks to Moses, to Joshua, and he says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then the verse that contains the one use of the word success in the Bible is verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So he's speaking it constantly. It's in his mouth. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? This is God to Joshua the third time. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Gus Lee wrote a book called Courage. And in that, he defines courage as facing strong, negative, gut-wrenching feelings. It requires the direct and robust facing of fear. Facing fear, that's what courage is. The opposite of courage, interestingly enough, the opposite of courage is not fear. The opposite of courage is not fear. Fear is what we overcome with courage. The opposite of courage is actually indifference. It's apathy. It's saying, I don't care, whatever. Doesn't matter. You know what Joshua needs? Joshua needs the ability to face strong, negative, gut-wrenching feelings. He needs to be able to robustly and directly face his fear. So I ask you a question today. What is the fear that you have in your way? What is it? We all have something that we're afraid of. Whether if it's the rejection of our kids, our grandkids, whether it's our declining health, whether it's not enough money, whether it's nobody at church likes me. And by the way, let me just throw this in there for you. I heard today, it's a great thought, that church is too cliquish. What that means is, what is a clique? A clique is a group of friends. What that means is I don't have any friends at the church. And as soon as this person gets in a clique, they no longer call the church cliquish. It just means that you don't have any friends. And a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So you have to learn how to make friends. And you have to recognize that people sometimes can be mean and heartless until they're the best people in the world. And that's just the way it goes. That's a side note. What is it that you're afraid of? Watch what Joshua does. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. They'd been wandering for 40 years because they were unwilling. Now Joshua said, 3 days, we're going in. And they did within 3 days. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua after he commands them, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only, you can see where the people are concerned about the leader, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. See, there's the accountability of the people to the leader. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Here are the people speaking to Joshua. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, for the last 5 minutes, I want you to look at Joshua chapter 2. And I want you to see their same circumstances, but different attitude. Originally, Moses sent 12 in. Now, Joshua sends 2 men in, verse number 1. And he says, go view the land, even Jericho. They come to Rahab's house. And guess what they find in Rahab's house? Verse 9. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now, this is 40 years later. I don't know if God had Rahab there before. Probably not. I know this. They didn't go into Jericho. If they had gone into Jericho, maybe they would have found this woman or someone like her. Maybe not. I don't know. But these are two spies that go in to see the land. This is the second time after the second giving of the law. And second chance at going into the promised land. And what happens? They see a completely different response from the spies. Because here, Rahab is saying to the men of Israel, the spies, all that God did. It's amazing. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Watch when they return. Verse 23. So they return, they come back. Remember the 12 spies that came back, what they said? Here are the two men. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and passed over, came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Isn't that wild? Where the people before got discouraged, and then they discouraged everybody else. These men went in faith believing, found someone who said, I've been looking for you. We know what God's been doing, and we know that you're going to conquer this land. And let me, by the way, just give you a little paragraph about what God is going to do in our country. This is amazing. What's the difference? The difference is believing the word of God. The difference is recognizing that what God said is true and then continuing to do what God wants until you find someone who believes what God said. That's what we do with the gospel. If you go out here and say, well, I don't think the gospel works because someone rejected it, remember yourself before you got saved, for one. And number two, remember, it's just our job to find somebody that's going to agree with it. Once they agree with it, they're going to be on God's side. There are people out there that want to be saved. And in your life, there are people with courage that you haven't met yet. People are going to help encourage your heart. What's interesting here is as Rahab and Jericho inhabitants' courage is going down, Joshua and the Israelites' courage is going up. But it didn't happen until they went into the land with a different spirit. Remember, Joshua was a spy. He maintained his courage. He maintained his faith and trust in God's word. And now he raised up another generation of men who had the same courage, the same trust in the Lord. The truth is, positive people raise positive people. Negative people raise negative people. Violent people raise violent people. Faithful people have a tendency to raise faithful people. It's just the way it is. I want you to remember that other people have fears too. This report that they received from Rahab did not knock the walls down. This report of how God had told Rahab what was going to happen and how everyone had fainted and their hearts melted, it did not kill the inhabitants of Jericho. But what it did do was give Israel the strength of heart they needed to go forward. Let me encourage you. Whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. Whether you believe you can grow in the Lord or whether you believe you can't, you're right. You will stay where you are. You say, that sounds like the power of positive thinking. It is. It's the power of positive thinking about what God said. You realize you can take all the verses of encouragement and faith and power in God's word and you can automatically delete them in your mind because of your circumstances. And because, well, look at what's happening around me. It's not, listen, the word of God is still there. You're just reading and trusting the wrong ones. If you read in the last days, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, and those are your life's verses, no wonder you're discouraged. Those verses are true, but so is also the other verses we read from Colossians. So is also the verse that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So also is the verse that says, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. These verses, we get focused on the wrong ones. And when we do, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. There are a lot of people in our history that had courage. The pilgrims, founding fathers. You think of recent times, you think of the police and the firefighters who ran into the Twin Towers on September 11th. We think about the military personnel we have today that are in harm's way on the front lines for us. These are people with courage. But we think about everyday opportunities for courage too. Courage is the bravery or the strength to do something that might be dangerous, such as helping somebody in need, even if you get in some kind of danger. How about this? Standing up for what's right, even if it means opposing your family. It can be hard. Leaving a job you don't like, trying to find one that you do. Doing something that intimidates you or scares you as a believer. Saying that you're sorry, apologizing to a brother or sister in Christ. It takes courage to do these things. Taking responsibility and accountability for your life instead of blaming your mom for everything wrong that happened in your life. It takes courage. Keeping your commitments takes courage. Making some goals in your life and following through on them. Well, I don't make goals. It takes courage to make goals. How about letting go of something and forgiving? It takes courage. Why? You have to trust in God's word over your feelings. Growing and learning takes courage. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." I'm encouraging you tonight to be encouraged. Let the Lord show you what the possibilities are and trust in his word regardless of what you feel about it. And I'm not just talking about everything is going to be rainbows and, you know, unicorns flying through the air and cotton candy clouds. I'm not talking about that. Yeah, life is tough. Things are bad. Things are going to get worse. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit. We have the word of God. And we have a commission. We have a reason for living. This whole thing is God's idea. And God didn't send me down here just to soak everything up for myself. He wants me to connect with somebody else. He wants me to give his love to someone else. And I can promise you this. John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Talking about spiritual children. You want joy and fulfillment? You want to have hope for America? Not hope that America will return to what it once was. I'll tell you what you can do. Get out there and invest in someone spiritually. And you'll find a reason that you're praying that God preserves America. You'll find hope in your heart. You'll find some joy that comes in, knowing that the Lord's in charge of this whole thing. Let me encourage you tonight in that way.